The Very Next Day by Tridenture, narrated by Rhea 3 and 4. Fandom Beyond Evil, pairing Han Juwon Lee Dong-sik. Rating explicit, no archive warnings apply. They'll probably never see each other again, Lee Dong-sik thinks, as he watches Han Juwon rush off to answer his department's call. He makes peace with the idea, even as he catalogues what could very well be the final few details of Inspector Han's person. His hair looks different than he remembers. His shoes, the trainers, are definitely a change. His posture is less rigid, or perhaps that is just wishful thinking. Ah, Lee Dong-sik thinks. What are you doing? You're not a cop anymore. He chides himself. No need to take note of these things. Lee Dong-sik has been told by several people since he came to Manyang that he himself looks great. Better, in fact, than he used to. As if prison perversely did him good. He does feel better in some ways. A weight has lifted now that his time is served. He wonders if Han Juwon feels similarly. He likely has not spoken to that father of his in the last year. His sentence is over. A free man, going where he pleases, not staying where he doesn't want to stay. Good for him. Juwon disappears behind a tree, then flashes back into sight once, twice, before he's gone. Lee Dong-sik shakes his head. It does no good to feel maudlin about such a little thing. He rejoins his friends and walks with them around the lake, explaining that the brave and noble inspector was called away, likely for good, never to be seen again. They are brought back together the very next day. Lee Dong-sik wakes up early like he always does, always did. Prison kept him on a strict schedule, of course, but he was used to that. Now, even though he has a choice, he wakes with the sunrise and goes on his morning run. If the weather is good, he'll jog all the way up Mount Shimju and walk the ridges and trails before coming home at a sedate pace. He should think about getting a job soon, but he doesn't need to just yet. He sold the properties he inherited last year, Kang Jinmu's and the chief's. It's enough to live on for a little while longer. He idly considers becoming a private investigator, but the thought of tracking down cheating spouses turns his stomach. He'd rather do anything else. Tend bar, drive a taxi, teach kids, lay asphalt. He's picturing himself on a road crew as he jogs back towards the house. He still thinks of it as his parents' house, not his house. When his phone buzzes in the pocket of his shorts. When Lee Dong-sik stops to fish out his phone, the fabric of his shorts makes it difficult, damp and clinging with his sweat. The text is from Oh Chi-hwa. Turn on the TV. It's Commissioner Han. Lee Dong-sik stares at the message, then starts jogging back down the road, his phone in hand. He considers stopping to text her back, tell her he's not near a television, ask for a rundown. Or he could look up the news himself on his phone. But for some reason his legs pump faster and faster until he's running. Sweat pours down his face, gets in his eyes, streams down his neck. He feels it trickle down his spine. He's nearly home. By the time he bursts through his front door, his chest is heaving for breath. The old TV in the front room has a lace covering over it, and he strips it away. The remote takes a second to locate. He hardly ever uses the damn thing these days. His time is filled with doing little errands around town for other people, fixing up the garden, his runs and walks. The screen flickers on. Good. He had been worried it wouldn't work after all this time. The former commissioner is not dead. He's alive, they're saying, recovering from some kind of heart attack. Experts agree it's likely from the stress of the appeals process. They interview people who say that, perhaps in prison, he will find an even less comfortable existence. His fellow inmates will surely treat him as one might expect hardened criminals to treat a former police officer. They say his son, one of the officers responsible for bringing the charges against him, is currently refusing to comment publicly. They show a clip of Han Juwon, It must be from that very morning, perhaps only minutes ago, ducking reporters as he tries to leave his apartment building. It's not the building Lee Dongsik remembers. He must have moved in the last year, perhaps closer to Gangwon. He turns off the TV and sends a text. It's the first one he sent to Han Juan from his new number, the one he got when he was released. Seemed right to start fresh. He debates whether or not he should identify himself, but it feels silly. This is Lee Dongsik, remember me? The kid will know who he is. Who else would send such a message? Do you want to hide out in Manyang for a bit? He gets a reply before he's even stripped out of his soaked clothes. I'm 15 minutes away. Lee Dongsik smiles at his glowing screen. The kid's halfway to Manyang already. He'd been on his way without waiting for an invitation, which feels just about right somehow. 15 minutes gives him enough time to rinse off, scrub away the sweat, put water on to boil for tea. He hears the car rolling to stop at the end of the lane, the engine switching off. The front door is unlocked, it's always unlocked these days, and Han Juan doesn't bother knocking. He lets himself in, like he always used to. I saw the light in the window, he explains as he removes his shoes. Not in the basement, then. I don't go down there as much anymore, Lee Dongsik says. He grabs a mug for himself, then another, which he holds up with a questioning raised brow. Han Juan had deigned to use the communal cup symbols at the butcher shop the day before, but Dongsik won't assume his own are up to snuff. Han Juan gives him an absent nod, like it's not a big deal for him to be drinking from someone else's cup. Maybe it isn't, lately. Okay, thanks. So his cup's passed muster. Lee Dongsik gives an impressed little mo of his lips as he makes them both tea. Stay for as long as you like, he says. The press can be vicious. They were waiting for me at home and the station. My chief said I could take a leave of absence. Han Juan sits down on a worn armchair, his hands thread together between his knees. He looks tired. Good, but tired. I just want to do my job. I can't do that with reporters following me around all the time. Lee Dongsik lets out a sigh. They'll lose interest soon, I'm sure. He pads out of the kitchen, his feet bare. His slippers are somewhere. He'll find them later. Soon, some other calamity will happen. Some other tidbit of drama, and their attention will swing elsewhere. He'll see. He hands Han Juan the steaming cup, watches his fingers close carefully around it, making sure not to slosh. The appeal seems to be dragging on. In some ways, it's worse than the first hearing. Han Juan murmurs. He sips at the tea. I just want it to be over. Lee Dongsik is not the type to say, don't worry, it'll all be over soon. He knows better than most of them that it won't ever be over. Not really. Even when the dust has settled and everyone else has moved on, there will be a hard stone inside Han Juan's heart, like a peach pit, that will vibrate at a specific frequency set off by the smallest detail, the most mundane memory. It will shake him, again and again, when he least expects it. And also when he does. My sister was killed and then treated like a rag doll by a parade of uncaring people. My father killed a sweet young woman, covered it up, and thought he still deserved to be the most powerful policeman in the country. No, it will never be over, not for them. Still, Lee Dongsik grins as he ducks his head to drink his tea. Still, they're alive. They're here. That's more than he'd thought he'd get, honestly. Two of the bedrooms are full of boxes and junk, he says, perching on the lip of the coffee table. You can have my old room if you like. I can find some clean linens for you. Don't be ridiculous, Han Juan says. I can sleep here. He nods to the old sofa, a tumble-down thing that reminds Lee Dongsik of dilapidated house facades. That's where I sleep, he says. He keeps his face serene as he says it. Han Juan raises a brow, sips at his tea. not the bedroom.
Heigl, my childhood room?
I would rather pass out here. He gives the sofa a light kick with his toe. He notices that Hanjuan watches the movement of his foot for the entire length of the gesture.
Not disgusting. He gives a mild snort. How kind of you to offer it to guests.
But he looks over the rim of his teacup, and his eyes hold an understanding. It is not the state of the room itself. It is the memory that haunts it. He understands, and he does not speak of it, and for that, Idongshik thinks he could love him. He heaves a sigh, heaves himself to his feet.
Sleep there, sleep in the basement, sleep in your car. It's up to you.
Want to help me weed the front garden?
It's a joke. Not a very good one.
He would never expect Hanjuan, even this mellower, beatific version of him, to agree to dig in the muck. And yet, Hanjuan drains his cup and sets it on the table beside Idongshik's hand, with a click.
All right, he says,
then looking down at his neatly pressed slacks and his faultless shirt.
Maybe you have some clothes I can borrow?
Full of surprises. It feels like some game where both of them are pushing, trying to see when the other will snap. Idongshik aims to win when he presents his oldest, rattiest t-shirt to Hanjuan, so thin it's nearly transparent, full of little holes and tears along the seams. But Hanjuan merely takes it, and the offered running shorts, and ducks into the bathroom to change. When he emerges, Idongshik grinds his teeth. The sight of Hanjuan wearing his threadbare clothing, it's enough to make Idongshik mentally concede 1 point. They go into the front garden. Idongshik is fairly certain the last time they were here together, it was pouring rain. Hanjuan had shown up to the house soaked to the bone, shivering, crying maybe, though it was hard to tell what was rain and what were tears. He'd just heard his father confess on tape to killing Yi Yuyon. He'd been such a mess. Idongshik isn't certain exactly what happened that night. He had wanted to get Hanjuan out of the rain, needed to feed him something warm to get him out of those sodden clothes, but Hanjuan had only clung to him, cold rain and adrenaline making him shake. He had put his hand on Dongshik's hip, had put the other on the side of his neck where his pulse jumped. He'd curled against his chest and shuddered. Idongshik thought he was having some kind of seizure, grabbed him by the chin to get a look at his glassy, unseeing eyes, and called his name. Hanjuan had swayed toward him, dripping wet, had put his face right up in Idongshik's face, their features mirrored only a centimeter or two apart. He could have kissed him. Idongshik knows that now. But at the time, it seemed like such an impossibility with everything else that was happening. Even if it was what Hanjuan had come seeking, he wouldn't find it there. The moment ended. They broke apart. They didn't speak of it. Still, had not spoken of it. It was a lifetime ago, after all. Since then, everything had changed. They spend the rest of the morning and early afternoon outside. At first, Hanjuan moves slowly, unwilling to uproot anything before Idongshik confirms it's a weed.
City boy, he murmurs after the fourth time. Can't you tell? It's all weeds.
All? Hanjuan swivels his head to survey the front garden, likely calculating its square footage, his pretty trainers already streaked with dust along the white lip of their soles.
Just rip everything up. Don't worry, I plan on rearranging the flower beds anyway.
He's decided it's time to throw away the fallen statue of the angel his mother had placed by her rose bushes, to dismantle the raised bed that had served as an altar for his sister's severed fingers. He isn't sure if he'll keep living in this house or not. He's not sure if anyone would buy it even if he decides to sell it, but either way, it all needs to go. Hanjuan looks dismayed at this plan.
So I'm supposed to tear everything up, even the flowers.
Sometimes the good is destroyed along with the bad. That's life, Inspector Han. He sings songs.
No,
Hanjuan says, pulling up a fistful of crabgrass.
It's just gardening. Stop trying to sound like some wise old man.
I am an old man, but not wise.
Idongshik's laughter rings out so loud two aunties walking to the salon at the bottom of the street hear him. They pause for a moment, listening, their ears cocked like birds. The day passes. It's strangely easy, spending it with Han Chuan. They share a simple lunch, then work some more in the garden. Together they lift some of the heavier blocks of stone that ring the old flower beds and stack them next to the basement door. Maybe Dongxik will use them to build something else later. There's no rush. He watches as Han Chuan carefully excavates an old rose bush and places it in one of the battered plastic pots that are stacked in the house's shadow. The poor piece of shit barely has a handful of leaves left. It hasn't bloomed in years. I told you, you don't have to save anything, he says.
It's not dead,
Han Chuan says, stubborn.
You might be able to replant it later. No sense in throwing it out like it's trash just yet.
Idongxik feels his heart lurch at that. This kid. He turns back to his patch of dirt and pulls up more weeds. Later, Han Chuan emerges from the bathroom again, this time freshly showered and bathed, free of the dirt from their day's work. He's back in the clothes he'd arrived wearing, though his shirt might have one more button undone than before. He rubs at his damp hair with one of Idongxik's mother's towels, an artifact from the 80s with brown and orange stripes. That towel is older than he is, Idongxik thinks.
All yours, Han Chuan says.
When Idongxik lowers himself into the still warm bathwater, he can't help but wonder if it still holds some memory of Han Chuan's body, tiny particles of his skin, a hair root intact, evidence. Idongxik smiles to himself. Once a cop, always a cop, he supposes. He sighs as he sinks lower in the water. The heat feels good on his taxed muscles. That night, they sit together on the sofa in the living room. Idongxik offers to switch on the TV, but Han Chuan tells him not to bother.
Just do whatever you normally do, he says,
and leans his head back against the couch to close his eyes, like he might take a short nap. Normally, if Idongxik doesn't feel like seeking out the company of others at the butcher shop, he sits here on the sofa, listens to music, scrolls through his phone, reads a book, jerks off, falls asleep in a position that hurts his neck when he wakes up. That first one is probably the best option now, he thinks, so he flicks open the music app on his phone and connects to the Bluetooth speaker that sits on the mantel. Early Somuntak pulses through the room at low volume. He looks over, wondering if Han Chuan will complain about his musical choices, but he's not making a face. He looks like he's sleeping, or on the verge of it. Idongxik considers him like this, eyes closed, head tilted back. He would like to say Han Chuan appears younger or more vulnerable in such a state, but the truth is he looks like he usually does, just quieter. The couch is long enough that they can sit on either end, and Idongxik can rest his arm across the back of the couch and not touch Han Chuan's shoulder. He does that, getting comfortable, his own eyelids drooping as he listens to the music, the sound of Han Chuan breathing. He's on the verge of falling into a doze himself when he feels the sofa cushions shift, hears a light sigh. A heavy weight on his thigh startles him, forces a sharp gasp from his lips. When he looks down, Han Chuan is there with his head in his lap, looking back up at him.
You can sleep in the bedroom if you're tired,
he says, gruff and gravelly. Then, because he doesn't want to sound like he's complaining,
it's really not so bad in there. It's clean.
Han Chuan just stares at him for a moment before putting his head back down on Idongxik's leg.
I'm fine here, he murmurs.
Then, tentatively,
unless your leg still hurts.
It doesn't. Not these days. Idongxik tells him so.
Then this is fine.
He curls up on his side, house slippers kicked off, with his bare feet dangling off the sofa cushions. His hand slips beneath his cheek, a little pillow for his head atop the muscle of Idongxik's thigh. The music keeps playing. Idongxik doesn't move, and neither does Han Chuan. A less observant person might think the kid had fallen asleep, but Dongxi can sense a thrumming energy in him that means he's awake. His breathing isn't fast, but it's not slow, and he holds himself just a bit too self-consciously in the cradle of Yi Dongxi's lap. "Look at Inspector Han now," he says, quiet in the room, like he's talking to himself and no one else. There used to be a time when he would flinch at the thought of touching someone else. He's not so uptight these days, eh? His hand lands in Han Chuan's hair. It's supposed to be a punchline, another annoying prod, a private joke. But Chuan's hair is incredibly soft. He must use some fancy products to get it so soft. And Yi Dongxi finds himself petting his hand through the silky strands, letting them pass through his fingers like water. Han Chuan gives a helpless sound, barely audible, just a puff of breath against the fabric of his sweatpants. Yi Dongxi's eyes flutter shut. Okay, so they're really doing this. His hips shift of their own volition, just the barest twitch before they settle back into the cushions. Han Chuan turns his face into Dongxi's leg, nose brushing the meat of his thigh. If he moved just a little more, if the angle were just slightly different. "Please," Han Chuan says, broken, and moves just a little. He nuzzles into his lap, breath damp through the thin cotton. Yi Dongxi can feel every hitch in it. His hand rises, leaving Juan's hair to hover in the air. "Are you asking for permission?" He's half amused, half disbelieving. How is this his life? Han Chuan gives a frustrated groan and shudders through a breath. His cheek rubs into Dongxi's lap, against the shape of his soft cock, which is startled into a frantic twitch of its own. From this position, his face is hidden, but his intentions are clear. His fingers scrabble at the loose flap in Dongxi's sweats, the modesty button having long fallen off and never replaced. Yi Dongxi grabs his hands before he can get very far, pulling him up enough so that they can look each other in the face. "Hey, come on. What are you doing?" The last song on the album comes to an end. The music stops. Silence descends. Han Chuan is flushed pink across his cheeks, sweat beating on his upper lip. His mouth trembles with the weight of his breath. He is equal parts ashamed and defiant. "Should I wait for a written invitation?" He snaps, or tries to. It loses a bit of the bite towards the end when his face crumples into devastated confusion. "I thought you..." He looks away then, down, at their joined hands hanging between them. "I thought," he says, and then can't seem to say anything more. Strangely, it's not pity that wells in Yi Dongxi's chest at the sight. It's a surge of affection, tempered by their shared hardship. What they are to each other, no one else can be. What they know of each other, no one else could ever know. It's not raining now, though, so maybe it's all right. Maybe they can do this and survive. Yi Dongxi is not sure he could before. He gentles his grip on Juan's hands. "If you want to suck my cock that badly," he says, "all you have to do is ask." Han Juan lifts his head with an impressive speed. "Can I?" He is so earnest, his face could break the hardest heart. "Can you what?" The smile that stretches his lips feels too good, too easy. He gets an angry little growl in return. "Can I suck your cock, Yi Dongxi?" So prim, so pink, so perfect. Sure. He goes to release Han Juan's hands, but as his fingers start to relax, he notices Juan's near-silent whimper of loss. He tightens his grip once more, this time on those strong, smooth wrists, and the tension flows out of Han Chuan. So he likes that sensation, This boy will be the death of him. "I don't think I can keep holding you like this while you do it, though," he says with a sincere note of apology. "The angle is all wrong." "You could handcuff me," Han Chuan offers like it's nothing. Dongxi blinks. I don't have...
They're in my back pocket. He shifts one hip off the sofa cushion, cocking the other in Dongxik's direction to give him better access. Dongxik squints at him. Juan had planned for this. He knew... Hoped? Knew. Knew it would happen. His breath flows out in a throaty, huh. This is probably something they should discuss before attempting, but what's one more bad idea against the pile they've accumulated? Dongxik gathers Han Juan's wrists in one hand so he can slide the other into his back pocket. He takes his time, palming his ass shamelessly, squeezing a handful just because he feels like it, and because he wants to hear that pretty little sound from Han Juan again. That helpless noise that's going to live in Dongxik's memory for the rest of his living days. The cuffs are warm from Han Juan's body heat, the metal rings clinking, as Dongxik pulls them free. They clack smartly around one wrist. "Turn around. Put your hands behind your back," he says. Han Juan does before he's even done issuing the command. Oh dear, this is already too sweet. Dongxik leans in as he finishes clasping the cuff around Han Juan's other wrist. His lips graze the bare skin of his neck. "Now that I've got you," he whispers into his ear, "are you ready to do what you came here to do?" Juan jerks in his grip. "I didn't." "You did," Dongxik drawls. He trails the tip of his nose down the corded skin of Juan's throat. He's as hot as a grill. "You were already on your way here before I even asked. Handcuffs stuffed in your pocket. You're too eager, Inspector Han."
"That's not why I came here,"
Han Juan says, his voice a little too loud in the nighttime quiet. It rattles through the house, silencing everything in its wake. Then quieter, he says,
"I wanted to see you. And when I did, I..."
He ducks his head.
"It's not my imagination. You want me to, don't you?"
He turns, looks at Dongxik with eyes that are deep and clear. Dongxik suddenly feels very guilty for being so cavalier about this when Han Juan is allowing his soft belly to be seen and sniffed. "You want to suck my cock? Sure, why not? He doesn't deserve a mouth like Juan's on him if that's how he plans on acting." He swallows, takes Juan's red face in his hands. "I do," he says, holding his gaze. "Sorry, I do." Han Juan's brows knit together.
"Why are you apologizing?"
"Because I should have made sure you knew it." He crooks a smile, remembers how he looked in the rain.
"Without a doubt."
He kisses Han Juan then. It feels like a benediction. How long has it been since he's touched someone with this kind of tenderness, with the intent to bring pleasure? His hands cup the back of Han Juan's neck, slip to his broad shoulders. Their tongues play together well, he thinks, giddily. When they pull apart, Han Juan is a wreck of bitten lips, wet and flushed, his eyes pleading.
"I want to."
His eyes dart down to Dongxik's lap.
"Please, the way I was before."
"Such a polite boy asking so nicely," Dongxik murmurs. He levers Han Juan back down to stretch across the sofa with his head resting on his leg.
"Are you going to keep being good for me?"
Han Juan keens. He noses at the bulge now growing in Dongxik's sweatpants.
"Take it out, take..."
"Bossy," he mutters. Dongxik cradles the side of his face, slipping his fingers between his cheek and leg beneath, so he doesn't accidentally do something stupid like knee him in the nose. He lifts his hips a few centimeters and uses his free hand to tug the waistband of his sweatpants down until his prick springs free.
"You sure you want your hands bound? You won't have much control that way."
That hits the nerve it was aiming for. Han Juan goes still, his head held in Dongxik's palm. It's enough to make an old man feel very smug. I don't mind that, Juwon says. You can set the pace. Do whatever you like. Have you done this many times before? He gives his cock a couple of strokes and teases back his foreskin. He lets Han Juwon rest his head back in his lap. His soft hair tickles at his shaft and balls. Juwon tips his head, lips so close to their goal. His eyes are wide and unblinking, mouth parted. No, he admits. I'd like to try anyway. Idongshik takes his cock by the root and angles it to meet those plush lips. The cock head smears across Juwon's bottom lip, leaving a sticky trail. Han Juwon gasps, tongue flickering out to taste. He must like it. He cranes his neck and wraps his mouth around the blunt head. He is hesitant at first, suckling experimentally, but soon he gives a low groan and sinks down further. At this strange angle, Idongshik's cock makes a bulge in his cheek. Dongshik traces a fingertip over the distended skin, feeling the shape of himself inside Han Juwon's mouth. The heat of his tongue is impossible. It would hurt if it didn't feel so amazing. Nice, he says, low and honest. Very good. He moves his hand to Juwon's hair. He seemed to like that earlier. He likes it even more now when fingers tighten in his perfect hair and make a mess of it. Idongshik has a suspicion that Han Juwon secretly enjoys being made messy, or would if he ever allowed anyone to try. He wonders if he's the first to make the attempt. Perhaps this more laid-back version of Juwon is ready for him. Here, you want me to set the pace? He fists a hand in the hair at the back of Han Juwon's head, holding him firmly in place while his hips pump lazily. Up and down, in and out of his mouth. Juwon's wail is muffled, of course, but no less gorgeous for it. His cuffed hands scrabble behind his back like they're looking for purchase, but there's none to be found. Suck a little harder. That's it. It's okay to drool a bit. Feels good, all wet like that. Idongshik lets his head loll back. If he's not careful, he could give in to bliss way too early and end up embarrassing himself. It's difficult to stay focused, though, when he can feel Han Juwon's spit dripping down his balls. He glances down at the picture Juwon makes, sucking him off like this. He's still rolled slightly onto his side, and from his own vantage point, Idongshik can see where his open shirt collar gapes wide, the undone buttons revealing flushed skin. He lets go of Han Juwon's hair so he can snake his fingers beneath his shirt, searching for a nipple. His fingertips find it unerringly. They paw at the raw nub so that Han Juwon winds around his cock. You like this? He pinches the nipple, rolling the bud between thumb and forefinger. Juwon shivers uncontrollably. Aigo, if it's too much for you, stop sucking me. I don't want you biting down by accident. Han Juwon pulls off, but only to say, I won't. Just keep, please. His mouth is shiny with spit, his lips swollen, as he gazes up at Dongshik. He could love him for this alone. Keep doing this. He tweaks the poor nipple again, and Juwon sways under his touch like a reed in a strong wind. Yes, he hisses. However you like, just touch me. He's breathing hard, like he's run down a mountain. He's so perfect. Idongshik contemplates the options before him. As much as he likes Juwon's pretty face in his lap, he thinks they could do better. He pulls him up into a sitting position and fiddles with his shirt buttons. I should have taken this off you before I put the cuffs on. Oh well, it'll just have to stay. His fingers make deft work of the buttons, parting the panes of the shirt and letting it hang loose on Han Juwon's shoulders. Stand up so I can take your trousers off. What are you going to do? Han Juwon asks, face flaming. Still, he gets to his feet and lets Idongshik work his fly open. You said I could take what I wanted.
Idongshik pauses in his work, his fingertips resting on the hard line of Juon's cock underneath the fabric of his briefs. He flicks his eyes up. He knows Han Juon has no idea of what he has in mind, and the fact that it could be anything is sending his brain into overdrive. He can see a million possibilities flash across that handsome face.
"Are you going to fuck me?"
he asks. His voice is a broken, lovely thing. A cock of his head.
"Do you want me to?"
There's a look in Juan's eyes and a movement of his wet mouth that tells him the answer, even if the man can't find the words. He both does and does not want that. He would let it happen if Idongshik wanted that from him, though the thought frightens him. It's very likely he's never been with a man like this, possibly hasn't been with anybody. He's so easy to read sometimes. Dongxik smiles and tugs down his trousers, leaving him in his expensive-looking underwear and unbuttoned shirt. Maybe later. Tonight, I think I want to use your mouth. Does that sound fun? Han Juan nods down at him, his mouth hanging open, and Dongxik is pleased with how thoroughly he has turned this sharp young man into something malleable. He's glad it's him that's doing this for Juan. Someone else might push him too far, but Idongshik will pay close attention and stop when it's too much. Suggesting they agree to a code word or signal would do no good. He knows Han Juan is too proud to use something like that, even if things take a bad turn. He looks so good, half undressed. His body is broad and solid, beautiful in a way only a 20-something guy can be when he's avoided cigarettes and greasy foods. Dongxik has the sudden urge to take Juon out for fried chicken after this. He imagines watching his fingertips turn shiny as he handles a piece of crispy golden thigh meat. Make a mess of him, but also make sure he's eating. That would be perfect. Maybe later. Yes. What a thought. Maybe later. He arranges him to his liking on the sofa, upside down with his head hanging off the edge of the cushion, his legs hooked over the back of the couch. Han Juan seems confused by this choice of position, but he goes willingly. His cock still tense, his brilliantly white briefs with bright blue piping, so that's a good sign.
How are your arms? Not too uncomfortable?
Bound underneath him like that, they might get pins and needles.
It's fine. What am I supposed to do like this?
He asks. He stares up at Idongxik, who stands before him with his hands on his hips, assessing the view.
Nothing, he says. You just stay right there. I set the pace, remember? I'll take care of everything.
His cock is at half-mast, but comes back to full hardness with a few pulls. It's still tacky with spit. He peels off his sweatpants, paws his faded tee over his head. He stands fully nude on the carpet and nudges the coffee table well out of the way with his shin. He likes the contrast. Himself naked, while Han Juan is still clad in a few bits and pieces. A toy he couldn't bother unwrapping completely before playing with. He reaches down and takes hold of Juan's chin, squeezing at his jaw.
Open your mouth.
Han Juan does, his eyes blinking rapidly. His tongue rests heavy and pink in his mouth. Idongxik can see the slick underside of it.
Good.
He shuffles closer to the couch. He goes into a wide stance, bending his knees until he's almost squatting. It's not a very dignified position, but it gets the job done. His dripping cockhead dips between Juan's lips, enjoying the hot, wet place for just a moment before retreating. Han Juan stares up at him, wide-eyed. His shoulders jerk as he tries, ineffectually, to follow Idongxik's cock, to chase after it. That gets a chuckle out of Dongxik.
Relax. I'll fuck your throat properly. But you need to relax.
His hand moves to the exposed column of Juan's neck, holding the tendons and skin and muscles of it. He can feel the knot of it bob as Han Juan swallows.
Breathe through your nose, okay? That's the key.
There's a furious glint in Han Juan's eye, like he wants to demand how Idongshik knows this so well. who has sucked him off like this before, or whether he was the one letting other men use his mouth. It's so cute, this feverish jealousy. He smiles down at him. "You'll thank me later for my lifetime of knowledge," he says, and cants his hips downward so he can feed Hanju on his dick. He goes deeper this time, sliding the shaft between those welcoming lips. Juan's body panics, as it's designed to, when he chokes a little, his throat spasming under Dongxik's hand. "Aish, relax, relax. Breathe." He pulls out to let Juan gulp down a mouthful of air before plunging back in. It's easier this time. He can feel Han Juan forcibly relaxing his muscles, uncoiling his tense posture. His shoulders fall away from where they were hunched up around his ears. He goes limp. Well, most of him does. His cock is hard in his fancy underwear, ruining it with a wet spot that grows as Dongxik watches. Looks like you enjoy getting face-fucked. He pulls back only halfway and fucks in deeper. He can feel the head of his cock reaching Han Juan's throat, bullying its way past his gag reflex. Juan huffs in frantic puffs through his nose. It tickles Dongxik's balls, tickles the wiry patch of pubic hair between his legs. He lets go of Juan's throat to reach for his cock, palming it through the wet fabric. "You're ruining these panties of yours," he murmurs. "Too bad." Han Juan grunts indignantly around Dongxik's cock, the only way he can protest in this position. Sorry, you're very manly briefs. Although, I bet you would look good in panties, too. What do you think? Would you wear some little lacy panties if I asked you to?" He cups his hand to the long shape of Han Juan's cock, trapped under the soaked fabric, and jacks it idly. Juan moans around the dick in his throat, now shoved so deep that Dongxik's ball sack is pressed tight under his nose. If he stays there too long, Dongxik could smother him. He lingers for one more second, just enough for Han Juan to understand what he could do if he felt like doing it, then withdraws completely so that he can breathe again. A string of spittle connects the head of his cock with Han Juan's lips. Juan coughs wetly, struggling to clear his throat during this brief reprieve. His eyes are wild and shiny with tears. He might even be crying a little, though with all the drool smeared on his face, it's hard to tell. "Yeah," Dongxik murmurs, cupping Han Juan's head between his hands now. "You would do it. You'd do whatever I ask. You would buy them with your own money from some luxury goods store. You're so good and sweet like this, Juona. You're not fighting me at all." Han Juan tips his head, trying to catch the shining cockhead that bobs centimeters from his face. His mouth gapes open. "More," he whispers. "Please." "I've got you," Dongxik says. And he does. He fucks back into his mouth, into his throat, holding his head in place so he can take as much as he likes. He pounds against his face, skin slapping. Han Juan sounds amazing like this, emitting choked-off whines and desperate whimpers. He gets louder and more desperate the deeper Dongxik gets, like he can never get enough. He's such a mess, spit leaking from his stretched lips down his pretty face, his hair in shambles from where Dongxik has been tugging at it. He's flushed all the way to his heaving chest. Oh, right. His nipples. Dongxik gleefully reaches for them, pinching at both little brown nubs in a way that makes Han Juan's spine arch off the cushions. His muffled cry vibrates all the way to the root of Dongxik's cock. He's going to come. He's going to ruin this boy. He pulls all the way out, his cock making an obscene sound as it leaves the haven of Juan's mouth. Juan gives a shocky little cry, like he wants it back down his throat, choking him. Dongxik loves him like this, too. He loves him clean and dirty. "I'm coming," he says. It's a warning, but also a veiled question. Where does his pretty boy want it? Han Juan opens his mouth, extends his tongue in offering. His eyes are a dark plea. So easy. He's the easiest thing Dongxik has ever done. He fists his cock for a handful of strokes, Then he's finishing on Han Juan's face, spattering his cheek, the corner of his mouth. Only one spurt lands on his tongue, and it disappears instantly as Juan closes his lips and swallows. The sight of it makes Yidongshik shoot one last glob on his cheek, groaning low the whole time. Look at you. He lets go of his cock to stand up straight and gaze upon his work. Han Juan covered in his cum. He's crying fat, wonderful tears that run down his temples to soak into his hairline. He's looking up at Yidongshik, looking so wrecked and perfect that even after that knee-weakening orgasm, Dongshik wonders if he could manage to get it up again. It's not possible, but he'll be content with the next best thing. He reaches again for Han Juan's briefs, tugging them to one side to let his poor neglected cock hang down heavy between his legs.
I'm going to finish you off,
he growls.
I'm going to make you come all over yourself, Juana.
Han Juan moans helplessly, his eyes riveted to the movement of Dongshik's hand on his cock above him. He squirms against the handcuffs again, like his body is one raw nerve, oversensitized to the point of madness. It makes something inside Yidongshik feel rabid. He strokes the pad of a single finger over Juan's hole. Like this, upside down and bound, Han Juan could be fucked with anything. Yidongshik could do what he liked, dip his fingers in and out, his tongue, a vegetable from the fridge. He could stuff Han Juan full and leave him, aching and cum-covered, to keep him ready for when he wants to use him next. He says all this because it's too good to keep it a secret, and Han Juan bucks and flexes under his touch with every filthy word. He comes in great bursts all over Yidongshik's stroking fingers. Cum patters on his crunched stomach, his chest, his straining neck. A few drops land on his chin, and Han Juan stares up at him with a dazed look. Dongshik reaches down, cups his face, uses his thumb to smear Han Juan's cum into his own mouth. Eat, he says, fawned. Juan swallows, gasps for breath. His eyes are streaming along with his nose. His lips work, but no words come out. He's been fucked so well he can't even remember how to speak. Pride wells in Dongshik's chest, for both of them. My, oh my. Dongshik clicks his tongue. What a mess you are. Beautiful. He takes him by the shoulders and helps maneuver him back to a sitting position. And careful, you might get dizzy. You were upside down for so long. Now where are the keys to the handcuffs? Han Juan lets out a sob and collapses against Dongshik's shoulder, his damp forehead against his collarbone. His shoulders shake along with his bound arms. Yidongshik chides himself. The kid can barely breathe, let alone answer questions about keys. He puts his arms around him and holds him through the tears. You were so good, he whispers into his mussed hair. So brave, always so brave. Juana, I have you. I'm not letting go. But I'm getting it all over you. Juan sobs, his sticky face mashed into Yidongshik's chest. Affection washes over Yidongshik. He strokes a hand through Han Juan's soft, ruined hair. I don't mind, he says. It's only fair. Stay here for. He swallows, ducks his head so he can press his lips to the crown of Han Juan's head. Stay here with me for as long as you like. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.